Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, and Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. The Reverend Randy Ashbury is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The first reading for the Feast of the Visitation is from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated.
What do you do when God comes to visit? When relatives come to visit, we clean the house, prepare the food, plan some activities, enjoy time together. When a celebrity or dignitary comes to town, we roll out the red carpet, show the best sights in town, and have a nice catered dinner. But what do you do when the creator and master of the universe comes to visit? Today's feast answers that question. Young, unsuspecting Mary, only 14 to 15 years old, had seen an angel. The angel had catechized her about God's plan of salvation, which involved her. She would be the mother of God, the Holy Son of God, that is. But how could that be? She wasn't married. She had never been intimate with a man. And yet young Virgin Mary would be the new tabernacle, the new home for God's presence. What did Mary do when God came to visit? She trusted the word of God spoken by the angel Gabriel. God's favor was at work. God chose Mary not because of any quality in her, but only because of his gracious favor. And everywhere that Mary went, God's presence was sure to go. When Mary went to visit cousin Elizabeth, God also went to visit. When God comes to visit, all creation rejoices. The heavens declare the glory of God. And people who faithfully receive God in the flesh rejoice in worship. The highest form of worship is faith. Of course, when the Son of God took on human flesh, the triune God did not stop being omnipresent. But God did, by his own choosing, make himself present in a specific location. This was not any old presence of God. This was his gracious, forgiving, life-restoring presence, wrapped up in flesh and blood, nestled in his mother's womb. John realized this and leaped in his mother's womb. Elizabeth realized this and sang a song of faith. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. John and Elizabeth did not see Jesus with their eyes, but they received his real in-the-flesh visit just the same. When John leapt for joy, it was proof that all creation shudders at the presence of the Savior. When Jesus comes to visit, all creation benefits. Our broken world is restored. A new creation comes forth. And when Elizabeth sang for joy, it was proof that God Almighty, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, was right there in her midst. God was not merely out there somewhere. Instead, he was in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth perceived this with the eyes of faith. What do we do when God comes to visit? Oh, yes, God is always everywhere. But that's not necessarily good news. God is present in the tornado or the earthquake, but that's hardly good news. Just ask the folks in Venezuela. And you cannot be sure if it's God or something else inside you who's present in the shifting emotions within. When God comes to visit, he comes for your comfort, your certainty. That's why he comes to a specific place, and a place outside of us. That's why he announces where he will be. For us, he comes to visit in his word read and proclaimed, in simple water, in spoken forgiveness, in humble bread and wine. So do we receive our divine visitor as Elizabeth and John did, receiving him in humble faith and joyful worship? Or do we instead treat preaching and baptizing and absolving and communing as optional extras? Do we instead look for peace with God inside our hearts? Do we instead rely on things going our way, the way we want them, as indicators of God's favor? Say things like election results or convention resolutions. Oh, don't misunderstand. Elizabeth and John and even the Virgin Mary herself were no more worthy of God coming to visit. They were sinners just as we are. And yet he came just the same. Elizabeth was an old woman about to have her first baby. Being barren had been a social disgrace. Mary was pregnant out of wedlock, another social disgrace. But God came to visit anyway. Our little faith and our misplaced priorities make us a disgrace in God's eyes. But God still comes to visit and save. This Jesus, carried so helplessly in Mary's womb, would later heal the lame, cause the blind to see, raise the dead, preach the gospel to the poor, miserable sinners. And then he would restore our fallen race. He would forgive our wretched sin by hanging helplessly on the cross, resting lifelessly in the tomb. And even today, this same Jesus, crucified and risen, comes to you with the same favor given to Mary, Elizabeth, and John. He comes to visit you. He comes hidden in the water, the words, the meal. What do we do when God comes to visit? We worship. We sing. We receive and proclaim the Lord's favor. Mary was blessed by God's favor. So are we. Mary brought nothing to God, neither do we. We are humbled in the opening confession, but then we hear God's absolution for us, and we sing of him and his goodness, not of ourselves, not of our fast-changing feelings, not even of our imperfect promises to God. With Mary, we sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Worship that focuses on us is idolatry. But the worship that focuses on God and his works gives the greatest joy and comfort. So Mary gives us some magnificent tips for worship. First, we receive God in his goodness. He is mindful of us in our lowly, sinful state. He has done great things for us by forgiving us in Christ, born, crucified, and risen. Second, God keeps all of his promises in Jesus. He set aside those old sacrifices and offerings, the ones we thought we could use to earn God's favor. It's Jesus who came to do God's will, saving sinners, you and me. And third, God brings us down from our pride and self-reliance and then lifts us up in his mercy and forgiveness. We confess, he forgives. We humbly listen, he fills our ears with the words of his comfort. We come to his table, hands out, mouths open like beggars, and he comes to visit with his body and blood, filling us with the good things of his forgiveness, his life, his salvation. Behold, the world's creator wears the form and fashion of a slave. Our very flesh, our maker shares his fallen creatures all to save. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.